Oh, amen.
All
right, let's go to the book of Hebrews in chapter number 11. Book of Hebrews in chapter number 11. I'm going to read just a few verses there. If you would, please, let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter number 11, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, and God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God."
Amen.
I'm going to read a little more, but we'll stop right there and look at this portion of Scripture. Brother Kenny, would you lead us to God in prayer, please?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to preach upon this subject this morning, what faith in God has done for us.
Amen.
What faith in God has done for us. When we think about the word faith, it's a word that affects the mind as well as the heart. And not only that, this is probably one of the only places that really describes faith, and I know there's many instances of it in the Word of God, in a way that you and I could look at it and really see the definition of faith. There's two words here in verse number one that gives us a clear meaning of the word faith. Number one, we find the word substance. The Bible said this word substance, it means assurance. And that's what this word means. It means assurance. And the word evidence, which means the conviction of knowledge. In other words, we could say it like this, I know it and I know it. Amen. And so we look at this, and faith is a substance and the actual possession of things that are hoped for. And so not only that, but we see that evidence is that part of faith that makes things real which we have not seen. There's some things that we've seen, there's some things we've not seen. And I'm interested in both of those things. But I look at here this morning, and the Bible said that faith is in trusting and possession of the things that all that God is. And so we look at this word faith, and faith is believing, and believing all that God says. And so we look at these, and we find in the Word of God that it's having confidence and being able to trust God because God does exist. I'll share with you very hurriedly here about three things that faith is not. The Bible said in the Word of God that faith is not, "I hope so." That's not faith. That's not faith in God. That might be something we have in our hearts and in our mind, but still yet, that's not faith in God. Here's something else we'll share with you here this morning. It may be so and it may not be so. That ain't faith. That ain't faith. God don't deal in things like that. And then the last thing is this, it is not that it might be true or it might not be true, and that's not faith either. And so we find this in the Word of God. You say, well, what is biblical faith? Biblical faith does not deal with things that are not real. You'll find this in the Scriptures. You read the Word of God. Imaginary things. It does not deal with imaginary things. We think about visions and superficial things or deceitful things. But the only thing that faith deals with is what God says in His Word. And this is what faith deals with. And so I want to share some things here this morning as we look at some of the things that faith in God has done for us. Number one, we find this, that Jesus found us. Jesus found us. The Bible tells us in the Word of God that we did not find Jesus, but Jesus found us. I'll share with you three reasons real hurriedly about why we can know this. The Bible says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." So I could not find the Lord. I could not find. As a matter of fact, when I was a lost person, a friend, I know this, that the Lord found us. And this is exactly what happened. And the Bible says not only was we spiritually blind and sold under sin, but the Bible says this about being spiritually blind. In John chapter 12 and verse number 40, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they could not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them." And so the Bible tells us again here that we were spiritually blind. You see, we know this for a fact, that not only that, but we were lost. In the book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up." Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save those that are lost." And the Bible tells us time and time again that we were lost. And so we did not find God. God found us. Amen. And God knew where we were. God knew the life that we was living. God knew everything that we was doing. And yet God still loved us. And God sent His Son. I fend for you and I. I think that He could give His life, that you and I could be saved by grace and through faith. And so we find this. Not only did the Bible say that Jesus found us, but the Bible said this, that Jesus fixed us. That He fixed us. We find this. One of the biggest problems today is heart problems. I know what it is because I've got it. But nevertheless, there's another problem. The Bible said in Psalms 57, verse number 7, the psalmist said this. He said, "My heart is fixed, O God." And this is what God does. God fixes our heart. And you see, this is a reason today you and I can live for God. This is a reason today that we can sing in the Spirit, preach in the Spirit, and do these other things. It's because God fixed our heart. Amen. And the Bible tells us here that the psalmist said, he said, "My heart is fixed." And then he said this. He said, "I will sing and give praise." And of course, that's what he was doing. He's giving praise unto God. In Psalms chapter 112, verse number 7, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. I trust in the Lord." I tell you what, you say, "Preacher, you know you're going to heaven?" I surely do. Amen. I know it. I know it. And the Bible tells us that we can know that. I'm glad, number one, Jesus found us. And number two, I'm glad Jesus fixed us. The Bible said in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse number 26, He said, "A new heart I will give unto you, and a new spirit will I put within you. You, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." I'll tell you the reason this morning, folks, we're saved is because what the Lord's done for us through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason here this morning. And so Jesus found us. Jesus fixed us. Number three, Jesus, He forgave us. Amen. He forgave us of our sin. In Psalm 103, verse 3, He says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases." In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." And I thank the Lord that God did this. For every one of us, you say, "Preacher, are you saved?" You say, "Well, how do you know?" I don't hope so, friend. I know so, amen. And there's a lot of difference in a person's life. life whenever that person gets saved. And so we find this, that Jesus forgave us in Acts chapter 13, verse number 39. And by him all that believe were justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. I just think this morning, my friend, just how good God hath been to us. And you say, preacher, how much did you do? I didn't do a thing. My friend, the Lord God, he done it all. Amen. He done it all. And we could not do one thing. Jesus found us. Jesus fixed us. Jesus forgave us. And not only that, but Jesus freed us. Amen. He set us free. Amen. That's what he did. In John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I'll tell you what, folks, we can face the enemy because of truth. Amen. We can rely on the truth. And the Bible tells us that in John 8:36. If the Son therefore make ye free, ye shall be free indeed. We're not bound by sin any longer. Amen. We're not that way. My friend, the Lord Jesus, I'll tell you what, he set us free in John 11:44. And he that was dead come forth. Talking about Lazarus. And they had him bound hand and foot. And the Bible said with grave claws. His face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said this unto him. He said this. He said, loose him and let him go. And friend, that's what the Lord has done for us. And it's because we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and not by anything that we've done. Here's something else that the Lord does for us. Not only did my friend, he forgive us. Not only did he find us. My friend, not only did he set us free, but the Bible said he furnished us. He furnished us. I don't have a thing, my friend, in myself, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got everything we need. Amen. We certainly have. In Psalm 78, number 19, it says, yea, they spake against God and said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And I want you to know, my friend, for all those years, God did that for nearly 3 or 4 million people. And I'll tell you what, God's still doing that today. And what we have, that, my friend, that belongs to the things of God, God give us every one of those things. And we would not possess those unless God give them to us. And the Bible tells us in the Word of God that Jesus furnished us. I'm going to give you 4 things real hurriedly in this about this topic. And then we're going to hurry on. I'll tell you what, about 1 o'clock, y'all hold your hand up, will you? Amen. About 1 o'clock, hold your hand up. Amen. I look at this, and you say, preacher, what did he give to us? The Bible said in Psalms 119:105, he said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for the Word of God. Amen. I'm thankful for the King James Version of the Word of God. I look at this, and he gave it to us. You just think what a mess this world would be in today if it wasn't for the Word of God. Amen. And people, my friend, have been anointed to God to preach. I tell you what, it had been a terrible shape. Not only that, but not only did he furnish us with the scriptures, but also he furnished us with salvation. Yes, I'll tell you what, you can't buy it. And I know you get it, you don't want to give it away either. But the Bible said this, in Jonah chapter 2, verse number 9, he said, "But I will sacrifice unto thee the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. And then it said this, "Salvation is of the Lord." I'll tell you what, if you say it, I hope so. I tell you what, you need to stop and let God do a work. Amen. You say, I think I am. Part-time I am and part-time I ain't. You need to stop and just think about what God said in His Scripture. I say, well, and the Bible said God's going to furnish us. And then not only that, the Bible said that God's going to furnish us with strength. And then God said this in the Word of God. He said, "I'm going to give you some saints." I'm glad there's people that love people. Amen. I'm glad there's people who love God, and I'm glad them people who love God love each other. And friend, and every once in a while, everyone else going to need a friend. And I'll tell you what, you say, "Preacher, where's that friend come from?" It comes from God. That's where it comes from, because God tells us in His Word, He said, "If you need a friend, I'll send you a friend." Amen. And the Bible tells us in the Word of God, my friend, that He does. And God furnishes us with saints. Here's something else the Lord, the Bible said, Jesus will do for us. Man, I'm sorry, enjoying faith, ain't you? Amen. Amen. The Bible said Jesus fights for us. Jesus fights for us. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 42, the Philistines are that come to David. And the Bible said, whenever the Philistines came, all they saw was just a little Rudy, a little David there. It said in Samuel 17:43, and the Philistines said unto David, said, "Am I a dog that thou comest unto me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David and his gods. Now there is a big army coming, and here David was there. And the Bible said, and the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field." And then David said to Philistine, I'm glad God didn't stop with verse number 44. I'm glad God gives us verse number 45. You see, we're going to meet giants in our life. Amen. We're going to see hard times and different things in our life. But I'll tell you one thing. If we'll trust in God, we can find the grace. Amen. And you know what David said? And the Bible said, David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, and I come to thee in the name of the Lord." And the Bible said here is exactly what David did. And the Bible tells us in verse number 46, he said, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host to the Philistines this day, and to the fowls of the air and to the wild beast and of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in heaven." Amen. David said, "Come on, come on." And what David was saying there, he said, my heavenly Father, He's got all power in heaven and in earth. I'll tell you what, folks, sometimes today we experience things in our life that makes it so hard on us. But if we just stop and look and just stop and think what God's given us, amen. You say, "Preacher, where'd you get all this?" I got it, number one, from the Word of God. But number two, I got it from faith and what God says in the Scriptures. And you can believe what God says. Here's the last thing I'm going to share with you here this morning. And I've tried to hurry. Amen. The last thing God says is this. He says He's going to finish us. Amen. He ain't going to leave us hung out somewhere and just walk off and leave us. He ain't going to do that. Most of us been through a lot of things in our life. Some things that maybe that we had no power over or nothing else. And we wonder how sometimes that maybe we can make it. But then, to the Christian, there's a tiny voice that speaks to us. and says this, I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. This thing ain't over. And I'm going to finish it. October the 12th, I had a heart attack. I made it to the hospital. Got in the emergency room. I went in there and my chest was busting. They were giving me pills and shots. And everything else they could. My wife, and there was another deacon in the emergency room, and they got them gone. And then I knew nothing. I went in the ambulance. They loaded me up, took me down for South Hospital. I didn't feel nothing. I didn't see nothing. I didn't hear nothing or anything else. They put two stents in my heart, sent me back home. 6 days later, it happened again. I could hear the ambulance that time. I had a big blood clot in my heart. 40% of my heart is all that's working. You say, Rachel, why in the world? You say, why don't you just quit? I can't quit. Because God has not finished yet. Here's what he said about finishedness. In Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. Here's what he said. Being confident of this one thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's going to do that. Amen. He certainly is. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down to right hand of the throne of God. And that's where he is. You see, it's not a hope so. It's not a think so. It's not a, it might be true and it might be not true. That ain't it. That ain't it. It's a no so. If you was there when it happened, you know it. It's a no, sir. That's what salvation is. And that's what faith is. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what you face, you can face it knowing that God is still in control. Boy, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad God lets us know when we're saved.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And if you don't know that today, you know what I'd do? I'd sit right back on her. They've moved this church around now. Nearly 50-some years ago, I sat right back on her. Brother Feldman preached his heart out. I got convicted. I got under conviction, and for a week, I prayed every day, God, don't let me die. The next week, I got up and told Martha, she said, well, where are you going? I said, we're going to church. We come to church the next Sunday, got saved.
Amen.
All that was gone. The fear is gone. You can know that you pass from death unto life.
Yes, sir.
If you don't know that 100%, I get up today and I get in this altar and I get honest with God. And I'd be saved.
Amen.
By the grace of God. The Sunday after that, I sat in the house, had a big family Bible. I'd read that all week. And I'd get in there and pray. I'd look at the pictures. And I'd pray. And I thank God for saving me. That Sunday morning, it's the only Bible I had. I picked it up, and Martha said this. She said, where are you going with that big Bible? I said, I'm coming to church. She said, them people going to think you're crazy. I said, I don't care what they don't think. And I've carried one ever since. This thing is real, folks. It really is real. Let God get real with you and you get real with God. Sure can. Thank you, Jesus.
Now wondering, how did them two messages play together? Because somebody right now sitting here with the carnal, fleshly eye nature saying, I'll do it later. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Nobody in that church the night that I got saved could see the hand of God, the very finger of God, the hand of God on my heart and in my life. And nobody could see that. That was between me and God. But faith come into me. You say, what does that mean? It means I got saved by a measure of faith. You're saved by grace through faith. Well, preacher, where does faith come from? The Bible said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then it goes on to say, well, how will they hear without what? Without a preacher. And how will he preach except that he be sent? I ask you, are you going to let that old sinful nature of man, the old fleshly eye, are you going to let that win out this morning by saying, well, I'll put it off till tomorrow? That's called the Felix principle. You say, what's that? Read your Bible. The Felix principle is this, that I'll call for thee in a more convenient season. That says, I'll do it. I want to do it, but I'll do it some other time. Felix looks at Drusilla, his wife, and says, well, this man's real. What he's talking about is real. And you may be looking at Preacher Gwen or myself and say, this is real. But I'm not going to do it right now. In a more convenient season, when I've lived my life a little more, when I've sowed my wild oats, when I've done this and done that, that's when I will come. The Bible says for you to take no thought for tomorrow, because you don't know that you're going to get one. You could be going through the Agrippa phase right now. Almost persuaded, but yet still fully lost. As Brother Scott has got us a song. 119, Jesus paid it all. If I were to go through here today and ask my dear wife, how did you get saved? She is saved by faith. By grace, through faith. Miss Vicky, how did you get saved, honey? By faith. Just pure grace through faith. It's just faith. Preacher Kenny, you can't see faith. It's the evidence, the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence not seen. You say, well, how do I know that you're saved, preacher? I hope you will see it by my works. Because faith without works is dead. But the Bible clearly tells us that you'll know the tree by the fruit that it's bearing. I hope there's some fruit out there. I hope there's something going on. Brother Larry, we can mess it up in a moment. But boy, that's all it takes to fix it. And right now, somebody might need to be, as one of his points today, just might need to be forgiven, might need to be fixed. And when you get that far, brother, he'll free you, furnish you, and set your course to finish you one day, and you'll finish strong. You ever watch a marathon? Brother Grant, I've seen them before. They come out of that gate, bam, they come off the line, they're going hard as they can go. You see that one little guy, and he's back there somewhere midways in the pack. He ain't even look like he's running, but he's still running. Further he goes, man, he turns it up, and he finishes well, winning the race. I've seen a lot of people come in here and shout the roof off. Brother Kenny can't find them now. The FBI couldn't find them with a team of Texas lawyers and the FBI looking for them. Can't find them. I'm afraid some of them got a counterfeit. But some of you folks have run well. You fought the good fight of faith and you're still here fighting it. But you're not fighting it alone. As we sing today, if you need to come, please come.